Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Well, here we are in July in Shanghai. You are here. I guess you just haven't left for break yet, maybe. Is that it? And we're delighted that you're here on this Sunday afternoon. And today I'm going to be finishing up a little mini-series that I've been in the last few weeks from the New Testament letter of Galatians. And so there's a lot we didn't say, and I would encourage you to, if you have a copy of the Bible, get the look into the letter of the Galatians and read the whole thing. First chapter all the way through the sixth chapter. So let me just get started today, and I think you'll see where we're going as we move along. So Galatians chapter 6, that's the last chapter, verses 12 to 18. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Now, even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I, Paul writing, never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Back to that in a moment. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. I was taken with that phrase, what counts is the new creation. Another way that we might say that, capturing the fullness of what probably Paul's intent here, is that all that matters is new creation. So, I mean, if you know something about this letter, and we don't have the time today to go in everything that they've covered and dealt with in these previous five chapters, but this is one very, very intense letter, because it is a very, very intense life situation. And they have really faced it. And there's been disagreement, and there's been confusion, and there's been heartache and heartbreak. A lot of emotions are out there. A lot of disagreement, a lot of strong feelings are out there. And you get to the end of this, and this is what Paul has to say. You know, in the end, when it's all said and done, and I'm paraphrasing here, of course, he's saying, hey, guys, what really matters is new creation. I mean, when it's all been said and done, the most important thing here is new creation. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, that's got a real place of prominence in the argument. He's appealing to, you know, like, if we're going to settle things, if we're going to kind of find a place where we can all rest, and rest the argument and rest our differences, let's rest them in this place, that all that really matters is new creation. It made me want to ask the question, what is new creation? I mean, if all that matters and what really counts is new creation, why is that so important? And why would that be so significant? And how would making new creation all that matters really settle things for us? And so let me take a few moments to talk about this idea, not an idea, but this reality, actually, of new creation. One of the best places you can read about new creation is in 1 Corinthians 15. That's an awesome chapter, and I hope sometime this week you'll pick up a Bible again and read the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and you'll see how God is setting about to redeem and reconcile all that he has made in a way that he is going to bring about a new creation. If God has created all things, and he has, then what he's going to do, he's going to recreate and new create all things. And that chapter really captures what God is doing through Jesus. He's bringing about a new creation. And you and I are a part of that. That's, as I said, an awesome chapter. It's a long chapter. I didn't want to read the whole thing, but I do want to capture something that he says toward the end, verse 42. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. He's talking about Jesus' resurrection, that Jesus' resurrection has launched God's new creation. It's anchored in Jesus and his resurrection some 2,000 years ago, which we celebrate every Easter, right? And so this is what he says, verse 42. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead, with our personal resurrection. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. What's Paul saying here? He's saying that because of the resurrection of Jesus, that those of us who are in Christ are going to experience the same kind of new thing that God did in Jesus, and we're going to experience it for ourselves when we are raised again, when our bodies are raised. The seed that is sown perishable, this body of flesh that is having some major, having some little aches and pains and problems, well, this body is going to be sown into the ground like seed, and it's going to be raised again to new life. New creation is happening here and now. The resurrection of Jesus didn't just launch a new religion called Christianity, right? The resurrection of Jesus launched God's action plan for a new creation. I really like what Tom Wright has to say here on this subject. He's awesome on this subject. We can cope, he says, with a Jesus who ultimately remains a wonderful idea inside of our heads. But what the world cannot cope with is a Jesus who comes out of the tomb and launches a new creation right in the middle of the old one. And that's exactly what he has done. I remember years ago, and I've shared this story before, we were taking Gracie, our younger of our two daughters, to preschool class, and it was around Easter time, and I'm sure that in her little church-based preschool, they were talking about Jesus and resurrection and being raised from the dead and the whole story, right? And so I picked her up in the car, and we're driving back, and on our way back home where we were living at the time, we went by a four-way stop, you know, all four stop signs, and at that corner was a cemetery. And as we were stopped, came to this full stop, she looks over at the cemetery. I've looked at the cemetery for I don't know how many, many, many times. I've been at that intersection many times. But this little four-year-old daughter of mine says, having just heard about new life and new creation in preschool class, she said, Daddy, are all those people going to come up out of that grave? And are they going to come out of their graves and be resurrected? And that was a real moment, right? Because I said, yes, that's what's going to happen. All the people who've been following Jesus and are now buried in that cemetery, they're going to be raised to new life, new creation, new creation. And you can see the image of new creation all over the Bible. We can see it when you get all the way to Revelation 21, toward the end of the story there. You can see and know that God is actually preparing a city right now that he will bring to this earth part of new creation. Or you see it very clearly in what Paul has to say to the Christians in Colossae, Colossians 1. The Son, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for Jesus. He is before all things, and in him, in Jesus, all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. New creation. Probably the best image, the best word picture of new creation is in the person of Jesus himself. The raised, the resurrected Jesus, the Jesus we came to know, the Jesus we have come to know through the stories of his authority and healing power and compassion on us, his reconciling, his work of healing, his work of renewal to some, to a few, and then to many, and to eventually the entire created order will experience the same healing, renewing, reconciling touch of Jesus as they did one by one. So we all will be. New creation. And new creation really makes sense on a personal level when we begin to see the change in our own lives, when the gospel has really started taking root in us and we start doing crazy things like going to church at 2:00 in the afternoon. We start doing stuff like reading our Bible because it's exciting and it's actually helpful. And some of us are like, you know, I can remember a day when I would have never picked up a Bible. Are you kidding me? You know, but new creation has launched in your life and the gospel has taken root inside of you and you're going to church now and you're hanging out with other Christians and you find it exciting and encouraging and you're reading the Bible and you're growing and you can't get enough of coming together to worship and to the fellowship and the friendship of being with other followers of Jesus. It all is starting to make sense to you now because new creation is happening in you and in us. We describe it this way. We describe it as a turning around to begin another journey, a new journey in a new direction following Jesus. We describe it as a new birth, like being born all over again with a new life. We describe it as joining a family of other new creation people so that we can be together as a family, this time by adoption. We come into this new family, and it is, as we discover, it's the family of Jesus. I really like the way Nikki Gumbel describes this family of Jesus. I was had the privilege of being at the last day of Alpha, as the Alpha course and season wrapped up this year. And so I was there because the last video, I think it's the very last video in the series, introduces the church. And, you know, because everybody's gone through, whole 10 weeks of Alpha by that point. And, you know, and to say, hey, you know, Alpha comes out of the church. It comes out of the body of Christ, all God's people. And now that we're kind of wrapping up the Alpha experience, we want you to know that this Alpha experience that you've had, this is actually a mini model of God's people, the church itself. And you are a part of that, and you're welcome and invited into that. And Nikki begins to describe this beautiful community. And although I've been a part of a church since I was a child, by the time he was done, I wanted to sign up. I mean, this is awesome. I think I want to come to that thing called a church. Can I be a part of that? I love the way he talks about the church being a place where the friends of Jesus come together. Most of us in this room, if not all of us in this room, have this in common. We're friends with Jesus. We share the same friend. Hey, Jesus is my friend. Yeah, he's my friend too. I have a friendship with Jesus. I have a friendship with Jesus. And what's brought us together is that we all share in this friendship with Jesus. And I love that. It's this gathering together of Jesus's friends. Jesus actually said to us, "You are my friends." And the friendships that develop because we are friends with Jesus and now develop with each other are some of the most precious and beautiful and life-giving experiences you will ever have. And I get it, you know, because we hear this all the time here at SCF, you know, wow, the friends that I made, you know, sometimes it didn't happen today, but sometimes people stand on their last Sunday and say, yeah, I was in a community group, shout out to my CG Man of Banana, and you know, and you guys are the best, you're awesome, I'm so glad, you're the best friends I ever had. We're right here. But it's not just a Shanghai thing, and it's not just an SCF thing. I have wonderful friendships over 50 plus years of being in the body of Christ, being in a community of the friends of Jesus. It enabled me and empowered me to have friendships that were touched by him. Nikki goes on to say, he describes it as a family. We call each other brothers and sisters. I come from a church, and we don't do this anymore, but back, way back, we're kind of old school, we used to actually call each other brother and sister. And that's how we refer to each other. And even, well, you know, I don't know too many people who call me Brother Kukau anymore, but, and please don't call me that, by the way. I'm happy to be your brother, but please, you don't have to call me Brother Kukau. I'm going to think you're going to be talking about my dad or my grandfather or something. You can't be... It's a family. He describes it as a home, but not a physical building, right? Not a house, but a home. And just like what we often say about when we talk about God as Father, that we realize that for many, many people, the image of God as Father does not bring very positive images to mind because of our personal experience. But what it does do is create in us the desire to have a Father like that one. In the same way, the knowledge and the understanding that this community of new created, of the newly created, the new creation community called the church, while we may not be coming from very healthy homes that we were born into, this should be the home that you desired. This should be the home where you are loved, accepted, you are not judged, where you are welcome. This is our home. And this isn't just our home. This is Jesus' home. This is God's home where Abba lives and dwells. And where Abba dwells, there's love. And so we reflect as this new creation community, the very heart of the Father of this house. And it's great to be here. I love coming to church. I really do. In case you just were wondering, you know, Pastor Dale, well, you're the pastor. Of course you love coming to the church. You have to be here. You're required. You don't know this. You don't know me long enough to know. Becky and I both, we were part of a church and coming to church and connecting with our friends long before I ever had a title. Because I love to be. I could go on and on, really, about the way God used his body to shape my life personally. And how what a pleasure, a joy, a calling, the richness of knowing that as I grew up and became an adult, that I could also be a part of that life-giving home that gave life to me through the power of Jesus and his Spirit. As Nikki wrapped it up describing the church, he said, actually, the church is Jesus because we are his body. The church is Jesus. It's not just something, it's not a high bar to just to live up to, but it really is an amazing expression of what God is doing here in our city through us, through this community, through this new creation model that Jesus has done. Back to Tom Wright, he said, each of us individually and each of us as a community, we are meant by God to be a small working model of new creation. So that when people come among us, they can say, this is what heaven is like. This is what heaven is like. Each of us with our faith in Jesus. Each of us with our gifts and the fruit of the Spirit from the Spirit in us. Each of us from multiple nations and families and men and women and young and old. But one expression of the love of God in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, Paul gets it. He says it in another place. It's all over. He said, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. And it's come here. A new creation is like an engagement ring, right? I said, well, okay, maybe not. Maybe yes, maybe so. You're going to have to explain that, Pastor Dale. New creation is like an engagement ring. An engagement ring has value in itself. We see the ring on the hand and we say, oh, that is beautiful. That's beautiful. We're excited. There's a lot of joy and there's a lot of happiness. When we see that engagement ring, just the ring itself brings a strong response of joy and delight. But its true value is not in the ring itself, but in the promise that is in that ring, that a wedding is coming, that a marriage is coming, right? The engagement ring alerts us to not only the delight of having an engagement ring, but that engagement ring is the indication that we are moving forward into something even more delightful. The ring is meant to delight the eye, but even more to delight the heart because of the promise that it represents. You see an engagement ring and you respond, when is the date? Right? When is the date? And so we are expressions of God's new creation. We are like that engagement ring. People see us and we see ourselves and we say, this is beautiful and this is a delight, but it's an indication of a much bigger promise of a wedding and a marriage that is yet to come. And you are invited. You are invited. Now, I want to stay true to Galatians chapter 6 here, so I'm going to turn here for a second, because as delightful as it is to be a part of God's new creation, I also need to tell you that there are threats against God's new creation. I'd be like, I don't know if this is a really great analogy, so forgive me if I'm off on this one, but it'd be like the beauty and the joy and the delight of this engagement and the old boyfriend or the old girlfriend showing up and trying to break it up. Not real nice, you know, not nice. Not, we don't want to think about it, we don't want to talk about it, but Paul is reminding us, and he's letting us know as he talks to the Galatians, there are some real threats to our new creation story, and we need to be aware of them. Now, the Galatians had their own unique story, and I doubt very much that any of us right now, maybe I'm wrong, but any of us or very few of us right now are struggling with a Jewish Christian friend who has been insisting that unless you start living the Jewish way of life, including eating kosher, you're probably not a Christian. Anybody have a struggle with that right now or immediately? You're going through that right now? Maybe, but maybe not. There is a common pattern in the way threats come against God's new creation. And I want to share that with you from what Paul is writing in this letter. The first thing, they all begin with F, by the way. The first one is force. The pressure, both physically and emotionally, to abandon the gospel that you received. You heard about Jesus. You believed in him. You received forgiveness of sins. You turned from what you were into at the time. And you turned away from the old life and you turned toward Jesus. The threats that come will often come with a force. Do this now. It creates fear within us. It creates a pressure within us. And it tries to drive a wedge between us and God and us and our community of Christian friends. Remember that even when the Christians get together, and you see this in the New Testament, Acts chapter 15 and in other places, Acts chapter, I think, 16, when Christians come together, they are often collaborating with each other. There isn't this kind of a threat, physical or emotional. The second part of that pattern is fear. They were trying to create fear within those Christians, part of the new creation. Listen, if you don't start adopting the Jewish way of life, you're probably not really a true Christian, and these are all the really horrible bad things that can happen to you, and fear starts to grow. They were flawed. Flawed because they were hypocrites, quite frankly. They were imposing all of these things on these new Christians and new creation, and they themselves were not keeping the same laws that they were insisting on others. They were flaunting. They were offering a boasting. They wanted to avoid the cross and boast in you becoming just like them. Paul wanted to boast in the cross. So we need to get at the right starting place. Now I'm going to slow down here because I think I need to take a little bit more time. I'm just going to slow down here. So these guys heard, all right, we're doing life, right? We're the new creation. It's happening right here in Antioch. We all love each other. We're having a great time. We come to church on Sunday. It's awesome. It's really good. Now there's some people telling us, it's, you know, kind of on the edges, you know, but it's starting to, voices are getting louder and louder. Hey, you guys may not really be a Christian. You guys could be totally missing it right now. I mean, are any of you eating kosher right now? Are any of you circumcised right now? You're probably, and the fear and the confusion, it's starting to creep into this new creation experience in Antioch. And people are disturbed and they're wondering. And they're hearing about this new thing that's different from what they'd heard before, and they're starting to work back toward their identity in Jesus. Wow, if these guys are right, and I've never heard this before, then maybe I'm not a part of the new creation. Maybe I'm not being directed by the Holy Spirit. Maybe I'm not even a Christian. So they allow the new thing, the different thing, the change that they've heard, and they make that their starting place, and then they work back to their identity in Christ and begin to challenge, maybe I'm not even a Christian. But what they should have done, you're wondering, well, what did they need to do? What they should have done was start with their life in Christ. I've heard something new. I've heard something different. I've heard something I've never heard before. I've heard some kind of new thing. I saw it on the internet. I saw it on social media. Somebody said, hey, listen to this thing and watch this guy and listen to this teaching. Wow, it's awesome. And you know, I've never heard this. I'm shaken. I'm a little confused. I'm not sure what I should do. But rather than making the new and the different my starting place, I make my identity in Christ my starting place. I know who I am in Christ. I know what I've experienced. I know the gospel has taken root in me. I'm in a community of other people who are following Jesus with me. I have all these things going. The gospel is alive and thriving in me. I know that to be true. I know that the Holy Spirit is leading me and directing me because the Spirit of God lives inside of me. That's what Jesus said, that when I came to him and he in me, then he would send his Spirit. That's living in me. He is living in me, and I am a part of the new creation. Now, tell me about that new thing. You see the difference? If you start with the new thing and the different thing and work back to your identity, you're likely to get confused. But if you start with your identity in Christ, know that you are led by the Spirit and that you are a part of the new creation. Now you can look at the new thing. Now you can look at the different thing. Now you can listen to that teaching on the social network or AI and ask yourself, what is this and what should I do with this and how should I respond? Let me give you another example. Recently I read about an expression of Buddhism, very familiar in our part of the world. You know, Buddhism can, some of you know more about Buddhism than I do, but you know there are various forms of Buddhism. You have Tibetan Buddhism, and it's a very wide and broad expression. And now there is a form of Buddhism that the way it's taught, it takes in every single religion of the world, including Christianity. So if you're talking to someone who's coming out of this expression of Buddhism and you're trying to make the distinction between Buddhism and Christianity, your response you're going to get is, oh, no, that's cool. You can be a Christian and be a part of my Buddhism. You can be a Muslim and be a part of my Buddhism. You can be anything you want because this expression of Buddhism covers the entire world, every religion, and every possibility, right? And you hear that and you say, well, what should I do with that? Hey, maybe these guys are right. I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know how to respond to that. Maybe these guys are right. Let me think. They could be right. Maybe I'm not a part of new creation. Wait, maybe I wasn't led by the Spirit. Wait, maybe I don't have an identity in Jesus. But if I hear something like, you can be Buddhist and be Christian too, because Buddhism is so big, it takes in every single religion in Christianity. I don't start with what I've just heard. I start with, I am in Christ, the living Son of God. Colossians 1, 5 to 15. I know I am filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God is in me, and he bears witness to the truth. I know that I'm a part of new creation, and I'm a part of new creation with other brothers and sisters in God's family. Now tell me about what you want to tell me about this new Buddhism thing. You see the difference? There are going to be threats. There are going to be threats, and we're going to need to respond. Respond in a way so that we don't end up losing what was given to us by the Spirit and as the gift of grace. We respond so that we might respond with understanding and strength and courage. We are God's new creation. And then Paul wraps it all up with an incredible prayer. What he prays for them is a grace for hard times. And these are hard times. He knows that. This has been, as I said at the beginning, a very intense letter. It's an intense letter because this is a very intense season in the lives of this community and in this city. These guys are on fire, all right? They're arguing, they're fighting, people are leaving, people are calling each other names, they're making accusations against each other. I mean, it's just, it's bad and it's just ugly, and he knows it. And Paul has to step inside of that and say some really strong things so that they might be anchored in Christ, they might know that they are filled with the Spirit, and they might know that they are a new creation already and right now. You don't need to start eating kosher. And so he writes these things to them, and he writes with a passion like a parent. He describes himself as a parent. It's the same, those of you who are parents, it's the same kind of passion that you have for your children, especially if you think someone is threatening your child. I mean, moms and dads, you know what I'm talking about. You have a child, and you think someone is threatening your child, I mean, talk about passion. It's right there, right? It's right there. And that's how Paul is writing. So when he talks about grace here, he's not talking about a friendly goodbye, bye-bye grace to you. No, he's talking about an expression of God's very presence that is filled with grace and filled with mercy, so that they understand that his response is coming from love and is coming as an expression of God's mercy. I read this this morning. Jude 2, 22 and 23, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, or that means awe, reverence or respect, honor. Hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Mercy should be our response when people are struggling, when we are struggling, and love. Now yesterday, and then we'll wrap up with this. Yesterday morning, I learned a new phrase, all right? I'm an old guy, I don't speak Gen Z. It's like a whole different language, you know? And they said, we were talking in our group, a couple of our group members were there with me in that little group yesterday. I was at the men's DBS, by the way, small advertisement for men's DS. That's where I was, DBS. I was there. And so somebody in our group said, oh, yeah, full send. F-U-L-L-S-E-N-D. I think it's going to be up there. Full send. Never heard that before. Some of you are like, oh, Pastor Tim, it's been around forever. What do you mean? How can you not know what that is? It means, among other things, it means limitless. To be without limits. All right? Now, I took that idea of full send and be without limits because, you know, when Paul is writing to these guys, he's realizing that some of the things that they've been taught and they're being told is limiting their life in Christ. It's limiting their experience with the Holy Spirit to be led by the Spirit. And Paul is against anything that is going to limit our surrender to Jesus and our being led and directed by the Holy Spirit. He wants us to have, God wants you to have, he wants me to have, he wants SCF to have a full send experience. And we can't have a full send experience if we are not fully surrendered to Jesus and if we are not directed by the Holy Spirit to take us, for him to take us anywhere the Holy Spirit wants to take us. And so as I wrap up this message today, this is my challenge, as I challenge myself. I want to live a full send Christianity. I want to live a limitless Christian faith where there is no limit to my surrender to Jesus. I think I'm surrendered to Jesus. Maybe there's some things I need to deal with. I want to live a full send Christian faith so that I can be led by the Spirit wherever He wants to lead me. I've been led by the Spirit. I've been directed by the Holy Spirit. So have you. He's not done directing you. He's not done leading you. You want to live a full send faith in Jesus, fully surrendered, fully directed by His Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that today we are reminded in the ups and downs of our friends who lived a long time ago that even though there's great joy in the house of the Lord and there's great joy to be with the friends of Jesus and to come in like we do week after week and to greet each other and to love on each other and worship together, we also are reminded today that there are threats against all this beautiful new creation that we enjoy. Let us be mindful of the threats that are against us, but not fearful, because greater is the one who is in us than the one who is in the world. And may it be true of each of us, and may it be true of SCF as a community of the Friends of Jesus, that we will be fully surrendered to you, and that we will be led by your Spirit, because we are your new creation, and that we will live a full send without limits love for you. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.